The Nail in the Coffin!
At the end of our last episode a couple weeks ago, Trav and I briefly talked about the standoff between Sinclair, which owns Fox Sports Ohio and STO, and YouTube TV, Hulu, and Sling. And as we record here on Monday, that dispute is still ongoing, and it's not the only one that's keeping big games off TVs in Northeast Ohio. I wanted to dig a little deeper into that subject today, so we are joined by Ben Koo, the owner and editor of the fantastic sports media news and analysis website, Awful Announcing. Ben, how are you, man?
Good. Ohio State to the Big Ten championship game. Vaccines are going out. Times are changing. Let's hope. So a little hope here.
Well, hey, you know, hopefully we can get the positive momentum continuing, but that would involve getting the Cavs back on my cable package as a YouTube TV subscriber. A little frustrated, and I know I'm not the only one, and we're going to get into that deal specifically, but it just seems like, broadly speaking, these disputes between cable companies and different networks, am I crazy, or is this becoming a more common thing lately?
Yeah, no, this is affecting me. It's affecting everyone more and more. People used to not have these problems. I just wrote an article today. The headline is sports media or sports fans are hostages in carriage disputes, and we often pay the ransom. And I kind of walked through that, you know, for many years, you just kind of had what you needed with your cable bill. Or your package, and you didn't have to like pay attention to the news or figure out what company owned a certain channel. And, this wasn't something you actively had to track. And now it's become really common to the point where, you know, two or three different times a year, you may have to figure something out. And we did a poll last week, and I said, when one of your teams is in a carriage dispute, what do? Do you just do nothing and you say it is what it is? Do you buy a local, if it's on one of your network local network channels, do you buy a digital antenna? Do you get a streaming package like Fubo TV or Sling or YouTube TV, which you said you had? Or do you maybe buy league direct with like NBA League Pass or MLB Extra Innings? And about half of our viewers do feel that they do something, that between those three options, they have resorted to paying that ransom that your cable company puts you under. So it's becoming quite common. We used to write about these things 2 to 4 times a year. And maybe one of those times it was Dish and Sling. The next one, it could be Comcast. The next time, you know, so it was kind of rotating between different channels, different companies, where it rarely affected you. And you could go a whole year or 2 years or 3 years without a big issue. And now we're doing these like monthly articles on these carriage disputes. And, you know, I'm in one right here myself. I don't have CBS. So if I wanted to watch the Browns this week, or I think the Packers game was on CBS, no go. So everyone is seemingly affected by this pretty commonly. So you're not alone, but it's a bad thing.
Yeah, so here in Northeast Ohio, Fox Sports Ohio and STO are, you know, those are owned by Sinclair, and those channels are not available on YouTube TV, Hulu, and Sling. And then Tegna, which is the company that owns WKYC Channel 3, you know, we were all excited last week that the Browns are getting flexed into Sunday Night Football next weekend, or this upcoming weekend now, 6 days from now from when we're recording this. But if you're a DirecTV subscriber, or you've got UVerse, as of right now, you don't get Channel 3 here in Cleveland. So a lot of people here are getting pretty nervous about that. So yeah, it's a...
You can watch Sunday Night Football in Spanish, though.
Oh!
On a channel called... Well, I didn't realize this, but we know that some people that black out with Tegna is NBC. For other people, it can be Fox or CBS. like it is for me. But if you have DirecTV, there's a channel called Universo, and you can watch Sunday Night Football on Universo. And if you're a UVerse customer, you can watch it as well, but it's not in HD. So it's Spanish in standard definition. So, you know, if you call your cable company, you know, get ready to for them to recommend that to you and just to, you know, have your response ready as needed.
You got to tell them no bueno. No bueno. This is ridiculous. Let's talk about Sinclair specifically, because I feel like this one is at least a little bit unique because they've got a lot more going on than just a pissing match with cable operators. So just to catch everybody up here, this has been a really long ongoing saga. June 2018, Disney buys 21st Century Fox. And one condition of that deal was that Fox's RSNs, the regional sports networks, just like 20 stations around the country, had to be sold off. So Sinclair buys these channels in April of 2019. They reach a deal, and I think that was finalized in August. And then finally, just last month, Sinclair announced a deal with the casino operator Bally for naming rights for their RSNs, which, you know, on the surface is just brilliant. Like, what doesn't have naming rights up for sale these days? Yeah. Why not sell the name of your channel? But this is going to include a lot more. There's an over-the-top streaming service. There's a betting component to this. Explain to our listeners what all this is going to involve.
Why? I don't even think they know at this point. You did a great job recapping the history here, and I think it should be noted here that so when Disney bought the Fox RSNs, the number that they attached to the value was about $20 billion. So Disney buys it, and they say, well, ESPN, you already have ESPN. This is going to be a monopoly, so you have to sell them. So they have to sell $20 billion worth of channels, and Sinclair comes out the winner, but their bid is at $10 billion. So Disney just burns through $10 billion in a, like, you know, 3-4 month period. And now you're left with Sinclair, who took out a lot of debt to finance this deal. And they're having debt load issues right now, especially with the pandemic. It's just a bad time for them. And they're basically like under the couch cushions looking for money. And for a long time, people have thought, what are they going to name these channels, because they're not Fox Sports channels. We can't hold on to them forever. I think contractually, there was probably a date and time where they were going to have to come up with a new name. And plus, if you were streaming it, you were using the Fox Sports app. So this whole branding situation had to get sorted out. A lot of people thought it was going to be Marquee Sports because they launched the Chicago Cubs channel, Sinclair did. And it was called Marquee. So it was going to be Marquee Sports Ohio was kind of the thought there. So they're having debt issues to the point they're trying to restructure. They borrowed all this money and they're starting to run behind. And they come up with the idea for the naming rights. And it's funny because when I said it, like, one day you're going to go to your channel and it's not going to be Fox Sports Ohio. It's going to be Bally's. And you're going to go, what happened here? And someone said, wait, like the gym? And then which is a totally normal answer. Like, the gym right. has this money, and it's like, no, it's the casino. And they didn't pay too much. I forgot what the number was. I feel like Sinclair just wanted to get the money in the door. And then they said, yeah, you know, there's going to be this gamification. Maybe on your remote, they'll put something out there and you can kind of bet on the game. And then I think they're going to redo kind of the streaming experience so it's not within the Fox Sports app. And that'll be branded Bally's. And then maybe in that app, you'll be able to do some gambling if it's permitted in your state. And I think your question, though, is like, you know, how is this going to work? You're seeing a lot of gambling companies just kind of gobbling up things. There were reports that Bleacher Report was for sale. There's rumors that Colin Cowherd is going to join Barstool Sports, which is owned by a betting company. So you're seeing all these betting companies gobble up sports media things, and then there's just kind of hope that they'll sort it out later. So that, and you know, right now, a lot of these markets, like in Ohio, we don't have sports gambling legalized. So how would it work for a state like Ohio? Are they just going to wait? So I think it's a land grab, and people are all the kind of casino companies, sports betting companies, are trying to grab websites and podcasters and, you know, naming rights for channels, because in 2 to 4 years, it'll start to kind of make more sense, and maybe they can get more and more people to bet through their kind of service. So my guess is that it's not all figured out, and these are all just kind of high-level ideas, and they just want to get this kind of in their camp before one of the other big, you know, companies like DraftKings or Penn National gets in there and has, you know, a relationship with Sinclair. So it remains to be seen what this looks like. And it might be 2 or 3 seasons before this is all really kind of flushed out.
Now, the one article I read, I think last week, maybe the week before, was that Sinclair had put out an announcement about this, and they said they're developing the streaming service that was going to be kind of like their version of ESPN Plus, but, you know, for their channels, obviously. No price was attached to it, and it sounded like it could be coming even like in the first half of 2021. Or is this something that could become like a trend where a company like this is looking at the cable providers like, we don't really need you anymore, and we can cut out the middleman and just kind of have a direct consumer offering?
Yeah, I think there's a business model there. Whether that kind of jives with the existing contracts they have with the teams and what they have with the cable companies and Major League Baseball and other sports remains to be seen. So can they kind of rip the rights away from Major League Baseball, who does their own kind of streaming package? You know, that it remains to be seen there, but, you know, maybe they're streaming like the pregame and the postgame and replays and the press conferences. Maybe that's kind of like where it's at. Like, it sounds kind of ridiculous to build a whole app where you're not sure if you're going to have the games, but there's a Longhorn network that I have right now. I don't have CBS right now, but I have the Longhorn network that airs one Texas football game a year, and they just air press conferences. So, I think Sinclair is kind of like a lot of companies trying to build out the infrastructure and trying to test the interest and kind of get ready. And maybe in some of their next contracts with some of these teams, they're allowed to put more and more content within their streaming service. But I think that's what they're trying to do. It's just like the gambling companies. They see the future and they want to be prepared for it and kind of want to incrementally get to where it does become a replacement.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder, because, like, you know, you got this dispute going on right now with YouTube TV and Sling and Hulu, and, you know, if you're Sinclair, you want to have your channels on in front of as many viewers as you can. But, like, right now, I think those three streaming services combined account for about 10 million cable subscribers in the U.S., whereas, like, AT&T with UVerse and DirecTV, I think the numbers I saw, they've got about 26 million. Comcast has a little over 22 million. Charter, which is Spectrum, that they've got 18.5 million. So those three streaming services, you know, it's killing me right now as a YouTube TV subscriber, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they're still kind of small, and I wonder if they feel like they can play hardball here a little bit more. Is that possible, or do you expect something to finally get done here with the NBA season about to get started?
Yeah, I think right now, if you kind of look at the RSN model, and I don't know the particulars for Ohio as well as I do, but a lot of these channels were set up, and if you think about the sports calendar, all of the NFL and college football is primarily on, like, national TV. So the RSNs really kind of focus on Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. And if you look at those calendars, it's year-round coverage. You know, baseball starts April, goes all the way to October, and then guess what? You have the NBA and the NHL starting that and taking you all the way until baseball. So those channels need to be on your cable package every month, else people are going to be calling pissed off. what the pandemic has done is given us this baseball ending the regular season at the end of September. So you've had October and November, and you know, with the NBA season and the NHL season pushed back, you've had this 3-month window where companies have said, we're not going to be really missing anything important. Like, you know, what has been on these channels like a week or two ago that people would like, you know, really, I could flip to it right now on my guide. I think it would, it's not stuff that, you know, we only watch those channels primarily for the games, and there's a lot of paid programming. So I think any company that was able to pull them off, because, you know, contractually they had the right to do that. They're just saving money. Those channels cost the cable companies about, depending on how many of them there are in a market and the market itself, it could be $2 to $7 a month, usually kind of in the middle. So if you think that you said the, you know, YouTube TV and Sling and Hulu have like about 10 million and they're all off right now. So if they're all saving $5 a month, that's $50 million a month between those companies. If you can get away with it for 3 months, that's $150 million that they're able to pocket, and people haven't probably been canceling because they're not missing their games yet. So I would say is, you know, hold tight. I think as the NBA gets closer, and I know like preseason's kind of started, I think the outlook is generally good. And I think this is also an opportunity where if you call to cancel, you might get a month or two free or half off. And I did that for my U-verse for NFL Network and a couple other things. And they gave me $75 off a month for a year.
Hmm.
And my friend who has DirecTV and was watching Sunday Night Football in Spanish did it. And he got $60 off for a year. So if you call and just say you're going to cancel, they freak out and they'll hook you up with some deals. And you just got to have a good poker face about it. But you know, this is often a good time to save some money, and hopefully it gets solved. And then, you know, if not, you can just cancel for real.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
You know, it's not just the cable subscribers who are kind of caught in the middle of this or have a vested interest in this. I got to imagine the leagues are paying attention to these things as well. I mean, TV ratings, everybody's talking about TV ratings this year. And, you know, God knows I've seen enough bad faith arguments why certain leagues' ratings are down, you know, over the past 6 months. I think when it's basically been like, what, every sport other than the NFL has had some sort of a drop. But, you know, you're looking with regards to Sinclair and the channels that they own. There are, I believe, 14 Major League Baseball teams, 16 NBA teams, and 12 NHL teams that have local TV deals with Sinclair stations. And I know, like, it's out there that the Cavs deal with Fox Sports Ohio is up after this year.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just thinking that, like, you know, even if they haven't said anything publicly, I got to imagine they're not real thrilled that Sinclair doesn't have Fox Sports Ohio on, you know, that number of TVs around Northeast Ohio. you know, the Cavs, it's not like they're on national TV much anymore. Not a lot of ESPN and TNT games. And, you know, they need to be, and you can't go to games, obviously, because of the pandemic right now. So, you know, if you want your games in front of the eyes of your fan base here, TV is what you need right now. So I got to imagine they're watching this closely as well, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, they watch and they have people kind of monitoring and making calls. I think what they like to do is kind of like back away. And then when it gets close to the big games, that's when they, like, the commissioner picks up the phone. So they're actively abreast and talking to both sides. They're talking to YouTube. And the thing is that YouTube TV was a major sponsor in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Like, if you look behind home plate during the World Series, a lot of the time you have YouTube TV as an advertiser. YouTube TV was buying tons of ads, I think, during the NBA playoffs and the playoffs.
YouTube TV is the presenting sponsor of the NBA Finals. Like, their logo is part of the NBA Finals logo now.
So yeah, when the NBA probably speaks to them and tells them, like, you guys need to kind of figure this out. You're part of the family. We're propping you up. You're getting new people. And now you have people in, I think you said, 16 NBA markets who are about to miss this game. Like, and that's, you know, what's going on behind the scenes there is they might be going, understood, we have a date at the 29th, we think we're going to get a deal. You know, behind the scenes, they're saying we feel confident. They're probably saying we feel confident, especially YouTube TV, because of that relationship, that no regular season games are going to be missed. And then the NBA probably would say, all right, well, we'll be on your ass until that happens. So that's the thing. Behind the scenes, there's some type of, you know, there's some type of ball game going on. And, you know, like I said, we just did the math that between those streaming services per month, there's probably about $50 million of savings. You do it for 3 months, it's $150 million. So every day is a big chunk of savings for these companies. So I think there'll be some movement across all three, or not all three, but Dish in particular can be real finicky these days. But I think the new streaming services have realized that they're picking up a lot of customers because there's disputes happening, like with me and UVerse or Spectrum. And so people are coming over for sports. And that was part of my article, is that I always have to figure out if I want Fubo or Sling or YouTube TV or whatever. So I think these guys are more motivated to have the sports channels than the traditional cable companies. I think they're just kind of being selective and letting this kind of, you know, let the clock wind down to when they absolutely do need it.
Well, hopefully get something done here soon. A few more preseason games to go, but the NBA season, the regular season, not too far off here. Going to tip off before Christmas. We don't know about the NHL just yet. And baseball, obviously, is still several months away with whatever we're going to be calling the Cleveland baseball team this year.
Yeah, I mean, how screwed up is everything right now that, like, the Big Ten championship hasn't happened, you know, in football, the basketball season hasn't started. We don't even know when the hockey season is starting. Cleveland doesn't have a team name. Like, you know, everything is just so all over the place. It's insane.
Well, I mean, just to kind of really paint a picture for just how ridiculous this is with the TV stuff, I'm an Ohio University graduate. I love watching my Bobcats. They're actually pretty good this year. And right now, it's easier for me to watch OU games than it is Cavs games.
Yeah.
They're a mid-major. And I can watch more OU games than Cavs games right now with these subscriptions that I currently have. So weird times. Hey, while we got you here, any other trends in the sports media marketplace that we should be watching for as we turn the page to 2021? What's happening out there?
I think what's interesting is, you know, ESPN just announced that they're going to pick up the rights for CBS's 3:30 game for college football. So CBS is going to lose that CBS. It's not going to take place for a few years, although it might start early. So how will CBS get back into college football, if at all? Will they try to get like a Big Ten game of the week, a Pac-12 game of the week, a Big 12 game of the week? I think another interesting thing that's out there is that the NFL TV rights are all up pretty soon. So a lot of people think the Sunday Ticket is going to be leaving DirecTV. So if you're at home with Spectrum or YouTube TV or what have you, and you've always wanted the Sunday Ticket but didn't want to bolt on a satellite dish, or you know, basically, you know, maybe you're renting and your landlord doesn't want it on your house, there's a good chance that soon enough you may be able to get the Sunday Ticket. There's talks that ABC might, you know, Monday Night Football might move to ABC, and ABC might start broadcasting Super Bowls. Right now, the Super Bowl goes between three networks, and you know, there's talk that it might now go to four. Other kind of trends is there's been some pretty significant layoffs at ESPN about a month ago. They've moved a lot of their longer writing to behind a paywall. And just across the industry, you're seeing a lot of kind of layoffs. You're seeing a lot of more games where the announcers are not at the venues. They're doing it remotely. You're seeing a lot of cost cutting, and a lot of it's pandemic related, but a lot of it is that a lot of the companies kind of involved in all of this are AT&T, which has a lot of debt, and they own Turner Sports and they own HBO, and they're trying to start a streaming service, HBO Max, and that's what they're focused on. And similar with ESPN, owned by Disney, they're pushing Disney Plus, and they're pushing ESPN Plus. And these entire companies are really just focused on those things almost exclusively. And you're seeing a lot of the things that you used to enjoy and the way you consume sports slowly kind of being de-emphasized, and some cost cutting, and some of that content is all kind of moving towards services. So I think, unfortunately, just like everything else, 2020, it's been a little bit of a sad year in sports media, where kind of a lot of the stuff that we're used to is going away. In 5 years, you may, you know, they've been talking about getting rid of sideline reporters at basketball games. So I know you have a big Cavs following. Is that something 5 years from now that's going to become pretty standard for local games? I think the quality in which we consume sports content and the accessibility on if it's free or where you find it, I think we're entering kind of a period where things are getting a little bit further away from us. And I think that's been accelerated by the pandemic.
Yeah, you know, the thing about having announcers not on site, I think there had been a little bit of that even prior to the pandemic with some lower level events. I know, like, some of the OU games and some of those other mid-major college basketball games, you're seeing announcers working from a studio remotely. And I got to be honest, like, as somebody who's watching a lot of these games, a lot of times I don't really notice the difference. And I think that's a real testament to the quality of the broadcasters who are working the games. But if you're a broadcaster or a company that's looking to save some money, that feels like a pretty obvious way to tighten up your budget going forward. If you can, you know, have a product that's 95% as good as what you were doing before and save that much more on the cost of sending your announcers here, there, and everywhere, seems like that would make a lot of sense financially.
Yeah, I think some people are like, it's the travel and the hotels, which 100% it is. But if you think of it this way, you could call a college basketball game 12 to 2, and then those two announcers can do a 4 to 6 game, you know? And then if you wanted to, you'd blow them up again at like a West Coast game. And so you can potentially have, you know, instead of having three announcing crews moving around, that's one crew. So you not only save the travel and the hotels and everything, you potentially are getting rid of four announcers.
Yeah.
Which you know, I think is a large part of it. So I think you're going to see that more and more. And you're right, it started about a handful of years ago. We started writing about the novelty of it, and then it started happening more and more. And now in the pandemic, it's a lot of the games almost. And I think they said Marv Albert and Hubie Brown are going to be doing remote games for the NBA. I think I have that right. So, yeah, you're going to see changes that don't go away, that started as like, this is a pandemic thing. And then when no one loses their shit, you know, sideline reporting, remote broadcasting, that a lot of that's going to stick around.
Yeah, I think NBC was even doing that already during the NHL playoffs in terms of having announcers working multiple games. I think in a couple instances they even had like an analyst, you know, sitting in one studio calling a game, and then during the intermission report walking down the hall and going in that studio and joining like intermission report. So, that's interesting. Yeah, the other thing is you're running through that list of things to watch for next year and beyond. It's interesting to me that like now all of a sudden there's going to be this push to get Monday Night Football on ABC, because for a long time, the big thing with ESPN was pushing as many of their big properties as possible over to ESPN because they could charge a higher fee because now they've got more, you know, prestige events on ESPN instead of free over the air ABC. I mean, you see like all the college football playoff games are on ESPN, the NBA, like so much of the NBA playoffs up until you get to the finals, those are on ESPN, you know, a bunch of other things down the line. What is driving things back towards ABC now? Why has there been like that reversal in course?
Yeah, a lot of that is that the cable bundle or the cable universe is shrinking. So about 5 years ago, I think it was at like 102 million households had cable. That number is now under 80 million. So there's about 100, I think they say there's about 120 million households with like televisions is the number. And I used to think that meant that ABC would have 120 million households, but they've actually recently kind of done some math and they said a lot of these households just have like Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Sure.
So there's only maybe about 100 million households that have ABC and about 78 million that have ESPN. So as that number shrinks, you're leaving households on the table that could be watching the game. But a big part of it is also not just reaching more people, but the retransmission fee. So even though ABC is free to air and you can buy an antenna and just, you know, get it for free, your cable company pays this fee to get all those broadcast channels. It was kind of a new thing a handful of years ago or a decade ago, where the you know, the local channels were like, but we're free. Why? Or they were like, yeah, we're free, but we're in your program guide and people think you get the channel from us. They started charging your cable company an amount just like cable channels do. And it's called a retransmission fee. And they weren't really a thing that long ago. It was kind of a new concept and it's built and built and built. And your question about Monday Night Football going from ESPN to ABC, and they're also kind of looking at ABC getting a Super Bowl, is that because there's no NFL football on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, who have Super Bowls, are able to say, all right, we want $2 to $3 a month, every month. And, you know, what are you going to do? Not pay us? We have a Super Bowl coming up. We have the NFC playoffs, you know, NFC championship, the AFC championship. And ABC can't do that. So their number that ABC gets trails by about a dollar because there's no NFL football. There's no Super Bowl. They don't have that leverage to demand that money, you know. So Disney right now is kind of realizing that they pushed all in with ESPN and now they kind of want to split it a little bit back towards ABC. So that seems to be a kind of a driving thing there. Just the extra households, the 20 million plus households that can watch sports when something moves to ABC, and then also trying to get that extra dollar that the other networks are getting.
Back and forth we go.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Well, Ben, you know, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed here that you're right and we get some sort of a resolution with Sinclair and our Ohio RSN so I can get these Cavs games back on here soon. Good stuff, though, man. You covered a lot, and this is probably the most informative 33-plus minutes we've ever had in the 5-plus years we've been doing this podcast, so thank you.
Of course. I appreciate the compliment. Hopefully things work out. I think maybe not specific to YouTube TV, although they have that NBA relationship. I think most of these are going to kind of hash out before the new year. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Sounds good. We will make sure that we link to your story in the show notes for this episode. And also wanted to mention to our listeners, I actually wrote something for Waiting for Next Year late last week about the Browns getting moved into Sunday Night Football and some of the historical context there. Spoiler alert, it has been a very, very long time since Al Michaels has called a Browns win. For context, I was 11 years old at the time. Anyway, that's going to do it for us for this episode. As a reminder, you can subscribe to The Nail in the Coffin on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can stream us on waitingfornextyear.com as well. Our thanks again to Ben Koo from Awful Announcing for joining us. I'm Tom Valentino. It's been The Nail in the Coffin. We'll talk to you again soon.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.